Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Amen, amen. Hey, look at the person next to you on your way down and just thank them for sitting next to you this morning. I always like to do that. They could have sat anywhere else, but they got to sit next to you. Amen. Well, hey, greetings. I'm so happy to be. I was here in the first service, and I get to see a lot more people in the second service, and I'm thankful to be back in West Virginia with you guys. I feel like I'm back home. This is a place where God used this place to start us on our journey here in the mainland. From when we moved from Hawaii, and we wouldn't be in Dallas today if God did not use this church to be a blessing to us to be able to do that. And so I'm very, very thankful. I'm thankful for your pastors. They are great friends. They are great pastors. They are great leaders, and they are great encouragers. And my wife and I are better people because we have them in our lives. And so put your hands together for your pastors this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I got a word this morning, and I've got to preach in the first service, and I'm thankful to see that the church is growing. You guys have two services, and I'm thankful that I get to preach at the second service as well. Holla at your boy. Thank you, Jesus. I was walking down. I told Pastor Brad, I said, I don't know if I preached two services in a row back to back. I don't know if it's if I have. I don't know if I have. It's been an extremely long time, and I forgot. But I'm thankful to be here this morning. And I know God's going to do great things. Amen. There was such a sweet presence of the Lord the first service. And I don't know about you, but I'm here to receive from the Lord. I need a touch from heaven, and I know God is going to do. Some of the greatest meetings I've had in ministry, I've actually been here at this church. I know the last time we were here, man, God really moved in power. And how many of you were here the last time when we had the revival meetings? How many of you got a miracle, got touched by God in some way or something the last time? Amen. Praise God. God's going to do it again. God's going to do it again. But hey, thank you, Jesus. Before I jump into my word this morning, I just feel like the Lord wants to move even before the message this morning. I feel like God wants to encourage some people. Is that okay? I just feel that God wants to encourage some people this morning. Amanda, I just felt like the Lord had a word for you this morning, even as I was walking in, and it was a scripture that says, "Do not get weary in doing good, for you're going to reap if you faint not." 2025 is going to be your year. There's been things that you have gone through. There's been seeds that you have been sowing. There's been a lot of sacrifice. And the Lord says, do not get weary. Do not get weary. Do not get weary. For there is a season of great harvest where the things that have been promised to you, that God has spoken to you, you're going to hold in your hands. And God is going to give it to you. It's going to be your year, 2025, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, everybody that needs a healing in your body, just lift your hands to the Lord right where you are. Father, I thank you even right now that even in this service, Lord, I pray that your healing power would be made known in this place today. Lord, I pray that every sickness, every illness, every infirmity, we declare in the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you that this place, that this house will be a house of signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Well, hey, my wife sends her love and her greetings. We have a new addition to our family, a beautiful baby girl. Her name is Grace. She's 11 months old as of yesterday. She's walking. She's running. She has about 8 teeth, I believe, last time I checked. And she is the favorite. She's our favorite little thing, and I love her. I never knew your heart could just melt for a person like that. And she was, ever since she's born, I've been jello. Amen. All right. But hey, I got a word on my heart this morning, and I preached at the first service, and I'm going to preach at the second service this morning. And every time I come here, I always pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I don't like to just copy and paste and recycle a word. I believe in asking the Lord, Lord, what word do you have for this house? And I had another message for the second service, but I felt like the Lord wants me to preach the same one that I preached the first service. But I preached the espresso version the first service. So this version, you're going to get a little more out of it. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 14, 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 14, 25 through 33. The title of this sermon this morning is called Walking in Divine Destiny. For those that were here the first service, there's going to be new, there's going to be fresh revelation that you walk out of here encouraged. It'll be part two for you. For those that are here for the first time for their second service, this is going to be a fresh word for you. And I believe it's not only a word that's going to encourage you, but I believe it's a prophetic word in some aspects for what God is going to do in this house and what God is calling this house here in West Virginia to step out and to do for God. Amen? So if you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's read. So it says this, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why do you doubt?'" And then when you look in verse 33, it says this, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" This word that I felt on my heart, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. You can read the same thing 100 times, and the Lord can give you fresh revelation from it. You know, so this is one of those words. I love this story, and God began to bring something new out of it and began to remind me of just everything he's done in my life over the last 5 years. And this morning, I want to begin to try to speak on that and try to encourage you that in our lives, we have moments in time where God sets us up. These are divine setups or divine destiny, as I like to call them. They're moments in which God intervenes in the midst of our situation because of our yes to him, and he sets us up to be able to propel us forward into the plan that he has for our lives. And I believe that sometimes our life is limited by the surroundings and the people that we live with sometimes. Our life is limited sometimes by the decisions and the vision and the mentality that we have. And over the course of this message right now, I pray that the Spirit of God would infuse us with faith this morning, would slap you over the side of your head, wake you up, give you an espresso shot, and that you would be able to walk out of here blessed and being a blessing as the church. Amen? So this is what we see. Walking in divine destiny is not just about moments. It's about the movement of your faith. It is the pivotal point in your life where God calls you, and that call requires and demands a response. It's stepping out of the boat and into the unknown because you trust the one who calls. Isn't it interesting that you see Peter on the boat? He could have been like everybody else. He could have subscribed to the mentality of what everybody else wanted to do and wanted to be. But yet, even though he was looking at the same circumstance, even though he was in the midst of the same storm, his response was different. I said it in the first service, and I want you guys to get it in this service, is that all of us go through storms. All of us go through these places in which that some people say, "Oh, God's testing us." This is the test, and I think the test is not the situation that you go through, because every one of us go through situations. I think the test is the response of how we handle the situation that we go through. I think it's the response of whether my response is going to be that of faith or that of doubt. Is my response going to be that of, "Lord, I'm going to stand on your word, even though that the doctor said this. I'm going to believe that you are the God that heals me, that delivers me, that sets me free." I begin to ask myself this question: what is my response in the midst of adversity? Because it's the response that'll actually grow you. It's the response that'll actually make you pass the test, that'll get you to the next level of where God's calling us to be. Somebody say amen. Moving to Dallas was, it was all about a response, and we hit the ground running, and it's moving to Dallas with Dr. Morocco has been one of the greatest honors, greatest things that I can't even describe. It's been one of the greatest journeys of my life, just to be able to be under Doctor and to be able to serve and to be able to plant that church in Dallas and to see God's hand at work. You know, for those of you that don't know our story, we moved from Hawaii. I'm from Hawaii originally, and we moved by faith to the mainland, and we traveled as evangelists, and this was one of our churches that we came to, but it was the greatest church that we've been to in the realm of, like, moving in the power of God. And along that journey, there were multiple situations that we could have said no, that we would not have ended up in Dallas. But every time God came in and he asked us, what are you going to do? My wife and I said, yes, Lord, we'll answer it. Whether it was in the area of giving everything we had, yes, Lord, we're going to do it. Whether it was going to places that we didn't have anybody, we didn't know anybody, we didn't even know if anybody wanted to know us in those places. You know what I'm saying? And we went there and we said, yes, Lord. And God intervened every single time. And now I'm looking back and this is not even the whole story. This is just the beginning. We're standing on the shore and God has so much more. And I'm so in awe of what God has done just in the last 2 years in our life of saying yes to the Lord. I mean, the church in Dallas, and for those of you that, I don't know if you follow us on Instagram in Dallas, but the church, God supernaturally has brought people in from all over America. There are people that moved from Hawaii. There's a couple in our church, and they run our generations and our kids ministry. They lived in Kauai. They owned a home in Hawaii. How many of you know, if you own a home in Hawaii, like, to buy a bathroom in Hawaii is about $1 million. You know what I mean? They owned a home in Hawaii. They had a family. Their whole family's there. We didn't even know them. And in a service one day, I turn around, I see this young couple in the back, and I heard from the pastor, Pastor Monica from Kauai, that this wonderful couple was coming, but I didn't know when they were coming, I didn't know how or whatever, and all of a sudden, this couple sitting in the back of our church, and I go up and say, hey, how long are you guys here for? Oh, we moved here. And it was in a moment of time where we were going through a situation where, you know, we were dealing with things, and I prayed. I said, God, I need help. I need laborers for the harvest. You're bringing in people to the church, but I need help. And all of a sudden, God, I really believe God saw my response. I wasn't like, oh, this is horrible. God, you brought me out here to die in Dallas, and I'm going to do. No, my response was that of faith. Lord, I thank you that you're going to bring somebody. And all of a sudden, I turned in the back of the church, and when I spoke to them, they said, no, we're here. They sold their home, they left everything they had, and they just showed up. And I said, wow. And that was the beginning of me understanding that the response that you have will determine the miracle that you're about to step into. There's been miracle after miracle, and I can take the whole afternoon to tell you about what God has done. God supernaturally paid for the, you know, 3 buildings on the property, paid for the renovation with over $1 million and that came in for the renovation supernaturally by Dr. Morocco sewing. There's another person that came supernaturally, gave another $1.2 million, paid off our entire property. You know, it was just paid off the mortgage, absolutely debt-free. There's been miracle after miracle of the provision of God. And it's come after the response of Dr. Morocco saying yes to the Lord. It's come after the so many volunteers and staff that we have that have said yes to the Lord. So I say all this just to fill you in on the information, but all to stir your faith up and say, what is God asking us to do this morning? And what is our response? So as we read this, just keep that in your mind. And I pray that our response at the end of this is going to be a yes to everything God has for us. Amen. You begin to see in Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, it reminds us of this, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Your destiny is not something you discover passively. Your destiny is not something that you just sit on your couch, eat your Lay's, and dip your chips, and expect it to happen. No, destiny is something you go after. It is something you pursue. It is a passion that is cultivated, not just found.
And I don't know if I shared this here before, but in my generation, we think passion is found. You know what I'm talking about? You turn on some music, or you come into a worship service and you go, man, I'm passionate. You know, and you hear a good message. Pastor Josh shows up, or Dr. Morocco shows up, or Pastor Brad or Miranda preaches, and you're fired up. Why? Because you heard the word and it got you fired up. And we think that passion is found in those things. No, that's not you finding your passion. That is just an injection of faith that you get. But God doesn't want us to live off of somebody else's faith. God wants us to live off of our own faith. Passion is not found, it's cultivated. It's cultivated in our lives every single day. How do you have a passion for someone? You don't fall in love with someone. That's not how it really works, even though it feels like that and even though it seems like that. You don't fall in love with somebody. What happens? If you think about it for a second. You see somebody that you like, and all of a sudden, I'll talk about my wife. I saw my wife. I liked her. I liked the way she looked. So then all of a sudden, I start thinking about her, and I go, man, I really like the way she looks. I like her personality. I like the way she does this, and I like the way she does that. And then before I know it, the next day I wake up in the morning, guess what? I'm thinking about her. You know, I go, man, I can't wait, you know, to talk to her today or to meet her. What happened? I'm cultivating a passion for that, for my wife. That's what happens when you begin to date. In the same way, with the things of God, you cultivate your passion based on where you put your attention. Where you put your focus will determine the passion that you have. The reason why sometimes in our lives we lack passion for the things of God is because our mind are not set on the things of God on a daily basis. We're not picking up that cross. We're not moving to the direction that God is calling us. Peter could have moved in the direction of fear like everybody else, but yet his mind was not set on what everybody else was thinking. His mind was set on the fact that Jesus was walking and doing the impossible. So if he could do it, Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do in greater works because I go to my Father. The works that Jesus did, we can do in our lives if we can just look at him and say, God, if I put my eyes on you and my response is that of faith, I can see miracles happen in every day of my life. Somebody say amen. So you begin to see this, and the first thing you begin to see is that Peter had to let go of what was, and he had to answer the call. When Peter asked Jesus, if it is you, have me come to you, all of a sudden, Jesus said to him, what? Come. There is a call that God has for your life. And I go to places and I see people that are fired up for God and they're doing great things, but I see people that have tremendous potential to be incredible men and women of God, but yet they have let laziness and becoming passive keep them in a place of bondage in the realm of destiny. Does that make sense? They think themselves out of God using them. They disqualify themselves before God can ever do anything in their life. They think, well, I don't have the words to say. I don't come from the right family. I don't have the financial backing. But I'm here to remind you today, whatever excuse that you can come up with about you being disqualified, there was the greatest qualification that could have ever happened for your life. And it happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary and he shed his blood. And that is the only thing that qualifies you, that sets you apart, and that sets you to do his work. Somebody say amen. The blood of Jesus qualifies us. And through that, we begin to see our lives in a different picture when we begin to focus on that. Number one, Peter had to let go of what was in order to take a hold of the call. In our lives today, what is God calling you to? For some of you, God's put a vision and a destiny on your heart. There's been prophetic words upon your life and upon your family. There's been things that God has put in your heart as a desire that he wants you to step out into this new realm of the supernatural to be able to obtain. And today, I'm here to stir you up and to remind you of that call. Is it a call to be a pastor? Is it a call to be a minister? Is it a call to worship? What is your call? God wants that to come alive. You're not going to go into 2025 dead in your call. Somebody say, I'm alive. Number one, Peter had to let go. Before Peter walked on water, he had to step out of the boat. The boat represents your comfort zone. Sometimes we can get so comfortable that we are not hungry to step into the revival that God has knocking on the door. I'm here to just remind you. There's revival that's knocking on the door of this church. There's revival knocking on the door of West Virginia. And God is looking for anybody that will say, if I will open up, God, use me. We need to start having prayers like this. Say, God, if there's anybody that you're going to touch, touch my family. If there's anybody that you're going to use my life. God, if there's anybody that's going to see miracles, God, let it be me. Yeah. Do I have people that are hungry this morning that'll say that? God wants you to get up from your place of sitting down and just be in the church of the chosen frozen and become the church that's alive, that's full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. God wants a church that's alive and that's hungry. You're only hungry if you're alive. And there's so many people, they go, man, I'm just not hungry anymore. Maybe the reason you're not hungry is because you're spiritually dead. And God wants to raise that spirit man back to life today. God wants to raise you up and say, man, those dreams that you once dreamed, those visions that you had for your life to be in ministry, they're not dead. They're alive in Jesus. Amen. I had too much coffee. No, I didn't have any coffee, but it feels like it. It's alive in Jesus. And when you get in contact with the Holy Ghost, those dreams can become a reality. Yeah. Peter was on the boat and he answered the call. And you begin to see this is that the scripture in Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say press on. That I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul is talking about the exact thing that Peter had to do on the boat. He had to let go of those things that were comfortable in order to take a hold of Christ who was in front of him. I believe that in this church, you, somebody say me, God is calling you to take a hold of the greatness that's in front of you. The revival that God wants to use. You know, just you being in this church is a blessing. This church wouldn't be this church if you weren't here. Because why? Because you attract and you influence people that other people can never influence. And you being here and being set on fire is a light to the unreached people that maybe pastors couldn't reach, or maybe your brother and sister couldn't reach. You being here is a testament of the goodness of God, but it doesn't stop there. God wants to use you to be a light to see this city shaken. You're not just going to be another church of a couple hundred people or 300 people. I don't know how many people you got right now. But you're not just going to be another church that's maxed out like today. You're not just going to be another church that's full of people. No, you're going to be a church that's multiplying. You're going to be a church that's praying. You're going to be a church that's in revival. You're going to be a church that's influencing this city and the world. Somebody say amen. Glad I have 10 people that are excited. Come on. God wants to use you. I'm just here, and they call me in once a year just to yell at you. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. Letting go. He let go. But check this out. There are three significant steps that Peter, there are three significant decisions that Peter had to make, which were steps in his heart before he stepped out of the boat. And these are steps that you and I have to make today before we step into 2025 if we want to see the fullness of what God has for us. And number one, you begin to see this, is that you begin to see the step of desire. Peter's first step wasn't physical, it was in his heart. He desired something more than the boat could offer. There's something that God put on the inside of me that my wife had to sometimes say, Michael, you got to calm down. But there's something that God's put on the inside of me that I walk around always knowing that there is more. When I go and I have a service, I'm thankful for what God did. But I always ask myself the question, God, how could we have more of your power? How can we see more people saved? Now with the church in Dallas, my prayer is always, God, give us more of the city. Thank you for helping us disciple those that we have. But God, give us more people that are saved on a Sunday. Give us more people at the altars. Give us more youth in our youth ministry. Give us more people. Why? Because the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to rise up and manifest his glory. But it'll die if we don't have a desire in our heart that is burning. That's why the Bible says, let the fire on our altar never run dry. For some of us, we need to go revisit the altar of our heart and inspect our lives and say, God, where is that first desire that I had? The desire to be a generous on all occasions, that desire to pray, that desire to serve. Where has it gone? Because sometimes we get so distracted by serving in the church, and sometimes we get so distracted when we serve and we think we're serving people, but we forget we're not serving man. I don't serve in the church because I serve man. I serve because I'm serving God. I don't pray because I'm trying to think what you think about me. I pray because there's an eternal heavenly God that is answering those prayers. I don't give because I'm trying to feel good about myself. No, I'm giving because I'm seeing eternity push forward. Where's your heart when you're doing things for God? Sometimes when I lose desire, I realize that my heart is in the wrong position. I'll go over here and say that. When I do things sometimes, then I realize, man, they don't see me. You know, you don't know how much I do in the church. Whoa, 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 whoa. What am I doing it for? Yes, we want people to thank us and be nice to us. Yes, 100%. I like that. Please brush your teeth and smile at me. But at the same time, would you do what you're doing for God if nobody ever thanked you again? Would you give the way God is calling you to give if nobody knew what you're giving? Would you pray the same fervency in your prayers when you know there's not a bunch of people around you that'll think you're spiritual? Ooh, Jesus, Shapa. Where's the fervency when nobody's around? Because who you are and the desire you have outside of the crowd, from going away from the crowd, will be that desire that makes you walk on the supernatural. Peter's desire wasn't connected to the people. His desire was that which was in him that was longing for more of who Jesus was. And this morning, if you don't remember anything, remember this. There's more. Can you get hungry for more? There's revival that God wants to pour out. I'm here to prophesy that the things that you've been going through, even this last year in 2025, for those that say, God, give me more of your power, give me more of your love, you're going to see the windows of heaven begin to open upon your life, and you're going to see the greatest year of the supernatural released in the name of Jesus. You're going to see things, I mean, miracles just begin to happen in your body. Even without you even being in a miracle service, bam, the power of God's made known to you as you're reading the word, as you're praying. You're going to begin to see supernatural resources come to you. You're going to see God begin to do things in your life that is going to blow your mind. I don't know about you. God, blow my mind. Sometimes my mind needs to be blown up a little bit. My mind can get a little boxy. God needs to blow your mind. And then you go, wow, he's God. Isn't it crazy that we try to figure out God in our 25-pound squishy bags of brain, whatever we have. Sometimes for some of you, you have 45-pound bags of brain. That's why you're big-headed. Anyways, we try to figure out an eternal God in a limited mindset. So sometimes God intervenes in the midst of our life and blows our mind. He walks on the water. He does the impossible. He asks you to do the impossible. Why? So that you would know that you're not alone, that he's with you, that he's for you, that he'll never leave you, and that, guess what? That miracles is the portion of every believer. It is our inheritance to walk in miracles. Somebody say amen. I like second service. I get to elaborate my points. Praise God. Number one, Peter had a desire, but how about this? Peter had to take the step of making a decision. Isn't it interesting that we live in a generation that suffers from decision fatigue? You know what I'm talking about, decision fatigue. We don't know whether to, we don't know what to do. We don't know whether we're up, we're down, we're straight, we're not. We don't know. Don't look at me with that tone of voice. We don't know why. Because when you don't have truth in the center of your life, it's hard to make a decision on what to do. Peter was staring at the one who was true. And he was in this place where his decisions were determined not by his circumstance, but by the one who was calling him. Do you and I know today that the one who's called you to greatness is able to perform the greatness in your life? That it's not about your ability and my ability. It is about the extravagance of his spirit that he gives us without limitations to do a limitless work for his kingdom on this world. Amen. That's who we serve. And Peter was here and he had to step out in the realm of decision. How about this? Desire alone isn't enough. Peter made a bold decision to step out. He didn't wait for permission from the other disciples. He responded to Jesus. Destiny requires bold decisions of action. What are the decisions of action that God is calling us to? Maybe for some of you, those decisions of actions. You know, I'm thankful for Dr. Morocco. I'm thankful that his decision of action in his life is that he is going to be a person that operates in the gift of giving. You go, Michael, what in the world is the gift of giving? The gift of giving is a realm in the supernatural that you can walk in. That when it's what you see what happened on Maui with a little church of 100 people that begin to explode into 1,000 and now thousands of people. But you begin to see those people that stepped in and said, God, if you can get it to me, you'll get it through me. God, whatever I have is not mine, it is yours, and I'm going to pour it into your house. That's how Maui was able to be built. That's how now, you know how many churches God's enabled us to begin to plant? I think we're close to 700 churches right now around the world. As Kings, and it started from a little island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that when you land on one side and you're able to see the other side and be like, oh, that's it. You know what I mean? You land there and you're looking at the other shore. You can look this side, oh, there's the shore, there's the other shore. If God could do it through a bunch of normal, ordinary people that were just trying to go to the beach in Hawaii, how much more will God do it through people in West Virginia that's smack in the middle of one of the greatest populations in all of America? Yeah, most of the country lives around you. That's why God wants to use you. You go, me? Why does God want to use me? Because you're here. God wants to use you because you're here. And if you say yes to make the decision of saying, Lord, I want to be used by you, whether it be in giving, whether it be in serving, whether it be in preaching, whether it be in going out, whether it be in pushing people, encouraging people. If you make that decision, God will answer it. But how about this? Number two, I got to speed this up. Number two, the step of decision. But number three is this, the step of character. Walking in divine destiny refines you. Ever think about that? Walking in divine destiny refines you. Walking in divine destiny refines you. I'm a better person today because my wife and I chose to go through the fire. Choosing to leave our boat, which was Hawaii, having a house there, you know, that having a family, having all the friends that I ever knew, and moving to the mainland where you have snow. Jesus, help me. Where I have to wear extra clothing just to walk to my vehicle. Like, come on. Having to leave that to go answer the call of God? Come on, give me a break. But when we made that decision, there was challenges that were along the way. There were financial challenges. There were challenges in ministry. Now, being able to be a part of the church with Doctor, one of the greatest honors of my life, and being able to help navigate that and be in stewards of the different ministries that we have. To be able to do that has been challenging. You want to know the greatest challenge in ministry? It's people. I had a guest speaker this last week. I'm not going to say his name, but he came and he said, he goes, we would all be perfect Christians if there were no people. Think about that. Sometimes our greatest challenges are the people in your family. But through the process, if you will answer it in the right way, if your response will be the right response, if you let the Holy Spirit mold you and he lets you change you, you'll fall in love with the very people that annoyed you. You'll have a passion to reach those that are lost. Isn't it interesting that we like to come after people that don't vote the same way that we vote? And then I realized something, being in ministry now, most of the people that don't vote the same way I vote need Jesus, so I'm not going to go after them for voting that way. I'm going to give them Jesus and let Jesus figure that out for them. Why? Because when you begin to do that, God begins to do work on the inside of you, and then his righteousness begins to become the way you live. I don't even know why I got on that point, but hey, somebody needs to hear that. You need to let righteousness get into who you are to be able to make the decisions for your character. But check this out. Peter's willingness to leave the boat showed his faith, but his sinking revealed the areas of his growth. God is more concerned about who you're becoming than who you were. God washed you with this blood. He redeemed you. He set you free. Why? Not so that you can be that person any longer, but so that you can become more like Christ. Isn't it interesting that we love to ask ourselves the question, how close to the line is it sin? You know, when you're in high school and you ask, okay, so if I hold hands, is it sin? If I do you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that. You all ask the Lord. You all ask those questions. If I kiss them one time on their cheek, is it a sin? What is it a sin? We try to ask ourselves, how close to the line can we get and not be sin, right? But that's not the question. The question is, how close to Jesus can I get to be more like him? The line is not our focus. In the process of God refining your character, you asking the question, oh, how can I do this and get away? That's not the character that God's trying to develop. The character that God's trying to develop is, how can I look more like him? Would Jesus be in this situation? Would Jesus do what I'm doing? Would he say what I'm saying? You know, I heard this and I think it's so profound. When Jesus is God in your life, he's the one you worship. But when he becomes the Lord of your life, he's the one that is in control of your life. That means that he has authority over every area of your life. So, for instance, if Jesus is God of my life, he's someone I give my worship to, and that's great. But when I make him my Lord and my master, when somebody comes up to me and they say something I don't like and I want to punch him in the throat, y'all want to do that sometimes. You want to punch him in the throat, you ask yourself this question, would Jesus punch this person in the throat? And if the answer is no, you don't. But how about this? We all love our opinions today, right? We all have opinions. We love our opinions. Our society is opinion-based. It's horrible. The opinions are horrible. That's what I meant. Not the fact that you have opinions, but some of the opinions are horrible. When Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, my opinions and your opinions do not go over his. This is his, not only his opinion, his commandment. So then our opinion, well, I don't think that I need to give. I don't think I need to do this. I don't need to live holy. Well, that's my opinion. And I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. Well, you're okay, that just means that you dethroned God off your life and you've become the Lord of your life. Good luck dealing with life, boo-boo. That's all I got to say. You're on your own at that point. But when God is in your boat, when God is in the midst of your situation, he becomes the Lord of your life, and your opinion is irrelevant, and his opinion is what your life is. Peter's opinion about the wind and the waves was the very reason he began to sink. Jesus' opinion is that you're not going to look at the wind and the waves. You're going to look on me because I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. He who began a good work is going to be faithful to get you through. And I wish Peter knew that back then, that the one who called him was not going to let him sink. No matter the storms, no matter the wind, no matter the waves, he was going to get him to the other side. And not only get him to the other side, he was going to get him there supernaturally. Woo! I'm having fun preaching this. I'm preaching to myself today that God, he's going to complete the work that he's promised in this church. God's going to build that building. That 9 acres is going to be paid off supernaturally. Hallelujah. You go, well, I don't, my opinion. There you go again with your opinion. Well, my opinion is, why do we need 9 acres? I'm happy with our little house and our little church right now. Who died and made you queen? It's not about our opinion. It's God's opinion and God's commission. And last time I checked, God's commission still stands in Fairmont today. Go into all the world and preach my gospel. There's a gospel that needs to be preached to all Fairmont. And last time I checked, Fairmont can't fit in this building. God is going to give you a mighty church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. Come on. God's going to build it. It's going to be a supernatural work. You're going to see that building. You're going to see that property. You're going to see God move. It's going to be supernatural. People are going to come out of the woodworks to just begin to bless this church. Come on. I'm telling you, people are going to come and serve. There's going to be a wave of people that are going to come that are going to be on fire for God. Young people and old people and people of all different ethnicities. There's going to be a revival that sweeps this city. And God is going to put this church right in the middle of it. And God's going to use you to be a part of it. Somebody say amen. 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 I need some ice cream after shouting this much. But let's move on. How much time do I have left? Amen. I love your pastors. Number one, you got to let go of the boat and you got to take a hold of the call. But how about this? Number two, we need to be people that step out in faith. Peter's boldness is what separated him from the others. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. There is a very few people on this planet that walk in the gift of faith as much as our senior pastor walks in the gift of faith. I can't sit in the same vehicle and listen to him have a phone call without being convicted and feeling like I need to know Jesus more. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's on the phone dealing with all these churches and just saying, well, God's going to do this. And he walks in that realm of faith where faith doesn't see the natural and act on it. Faith looks to God on his ability to do it and his riches and acts accordingly. If I were to act on my own ability on what I had or didn't have, guess what? I would have never left home. Most of you, your pastors would not be in West Virginia. If they were looking out of the lens of their own eyes and not operating in faith, this church wouldn't exist today. If Dr. Morocco was looking out of his own eyes and he didn't look out of the realm of faith, Kings wouldn't be almost 700 congregations around the world today. Why? Because they would have been happy sitting in their church on Maui, going to the beach, eating their shaved ice and their musubis. Come on, somebody. They would have been happy. Why? But faith always requires action. What does it say? Faith without works is dead. How many of you have you ever driven by? You know, I grew up a little bit in India, and one of the things they had stagnant waters, these ponds. You know, over here your ponds and they're beautiful in West Virginia. Like, you have waterfalls coming out of your ponds. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how you do that. but sometimes in India and other places, if you had a pond of stagnant water, that usually meant, number one, there was at least one dead animal in it. Number two, your sewer was probably in it. And number three, you don't want to be next to it. Why? Because something that's still is dead. Something that stays still decays. Water that stays still begins to stink. It attracts things. In the same way, our lives sometimes can become stagnant. We become stagnant to the things that God wants to do for us instead of letting the Lord use us. Our faith begins to become stagnant, and faith without works is dead. If your faith doesn't take action, it's just wishful thinking. Some of you need to get this in your spirit this morning. God's calling your faith to come alive again, for you to dream again, for you to pray for people again. When was the last time you laid hands on somebody and prayed for them to be healed? When was the last time you prayed for someone in your family? When was the last time your faith, and we believe, how many of you believe in peace? How many of you don't believe in peace? How many of you believe in peace? How many of you believe that God wants to give you unity in your marriage? This hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was my wife. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit and my wife sound the same sometimes. You know, everybody goes through issues, so don't judge me when I say this, right? And it's usually me that's causing the issues. Praise God, right? If it's a husband and wife, it's usually the husband that's doing something stupid or saying something, you know. Anyways, I forget what it was. It was probably washing the bottles or something like that for the baby. I don't know. And we were dealing with something, and we got into a little discussion. And I was like, man, what's going on? And then we left, and I went to the church, and I'm driving back. And I pull into the house, and all of a sudden, I'm not saying this to give credit to the enemy or anything like that. And I pull into the driveway, and I see someone walk behind my car. There shouldn't be anybody walking on my driveway. It's my driveway, and we live in America. Let's cue the Jets. Anyways, so I get out of my car, and I look. There's no one there. No one on my neighbor's property. And I go, oh, my gosh. You know, you're like, what was that? And then I go, okay, whatever. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, pray. That was spiritual. You know what I did? I was hungry. I was hungry. I went in and got something to eat. Well, that night, my wife and I end up getting into the weirdest disagreement. I mean, you know what I mean. Like, ever had those weird disagreements where you're just like, we're fighting over the Lysol bottle. Why are we fighting for the Lysol bottle right now? Jesus, help us. And it just, like, started happening. And I'm like going, what's going on? And I didn't realize this till the next day. I went in and then I walk into our office and our staff, the couples over there, they walk in and all of them aren't like standing next to each other. They're all like separate and the husbands are like, and the wives are like, I'm like, what's going on? So I call them into my office and these three or four couples, I go, come into my office. What's going on with you guys? And then I ask them, they go, well, last night at this time, for some reason, we begin to fight. And my wife, and she looked at me, and she goes, Michael, well, when was the last time you prayed over me when we were going through that? I said, you don't look like you need prayer when you're going through that, when you're disagreeing with me. How am I going to do that? Get delivered. No, like, I can't. I'm dead if I do that. Like, that's not happening, you know? Just like, wash the bottles. I don't want to do it right now. Deliverance. Just, there's my, it doesn't happen. But she looked at me, she said, when was the last time you prayed when we're going through this? Then I began to realize something, that our fight is not natural. We begin to pray for our marriage. My faith, if I believe in peace, your faith for peace needs to have an action of prayer to be associated with that faith in order to be alive. Does that make sense? It's why even the last time coming here, you can talk about miracles, but if you don't take the action of faith to pray for miracles, you're never going to see miracles, and your faith is never going to grow to see God move in that way. So what if you pray for someone and something doesn't happen? It's not your reputation. Who gives a rip? Do it. Pray for 100 people and one person gets healed. That's awesome. Then you'll pray for 100 people and two people get healed. Pray for 100 people and then 50 get healed. Then you pray for 100 people and you're moved with compassion like Jesus was. And then 100% get healed. Whew. Man, that's what I want to get to. Amen? Faith needs to take action. I'm going to speed this up. I'm so sorry. Faith needs to take action. But check this out. Faith is a currency of God. It requires courage. Don't follow the crowd, follow his voice. In the process of moving in the realm of faith, don't follow the voices of what the world will tell you to follow. Don't follow the voices of your friends and Susie Lou or whoever it might be. You need to follow the voice of God. It says this, is that my sheep, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Whose voice are we listening to on a daily basis? Are we listening to the voice of doubt or fear or insecurity? Are we listening to the voices of the waves and the seas? Or are we listening to the voice of God? And you go, Michael, it's hard for me to hear the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you this, look, pick up your Bible, read it out loud. That's the voice of the Lord for your life. That's the voice of the Lord for your life. You read this enough and you begin to hear his voice through the word, and then you begin to hear his voice through your heart. You only begin to hear his voice in your heart when you begin to recognize his voice through the word. That's a side note for somebody that wants to hear the voice of the Lord. But how about this? Number two in the second point is this, is that don't let distraction and discouragement derail you from the call that God has for you. And I hit this on the first service, and I just want to say this, is that in ministry and in life, when you're doing great steps of faith, the enemy has the same tricks. He uses the same things to try to stop you from doing great things for God. Number one is discouragement. All of a sudden, you'll start feeling that you're not good enough, or somebody will come and tell you something and tell you that you're not this or you're not that. I remember when I was younger, you know, I had someone, and all I wanted to do was be in ministry and speak. It was actually my communications professor at the university in Hawaii. And, I did the class, and I always tend to the side. I like making people laugh. I just love it. That's just who I am. You know, I say stupid jokes. Can I say stupid? I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I say jokes that are cringe, apparently, sometimes, and my wife tells me don't do it, so I've been dialing back. It's been wonderful. I've been trying to be more serious, and then exactly like that. I've said questionable things, and I apologize for anything I might have said that might have offended you and your opinion, but we preached about that, so anyways. But, I'm at this class, and the professor comes, and I do a whole presentation, and they wanted to do a presentation of where you're from and who you are, and I did something very not smart, and I was trying to say I'm an Indian, and so then I had a projector, and they wanted me to do a projector. I don't like doing presentations. That's just not my gift. Other people are phenomenal at presentations. They have squirrels that are flying. I don't. It's just black and white. There's my presentation, and all of a sudden I do the presentation, and I said I'm Indian, and I put up the, I'm sorry if we're live, but I put up the thing on the screen. I put the one with the dot, not the feather. I didn't know that was bad. Like, this is, you know what I mean? Like, I just moved from India. Like, I didn't know that, there was things. And I just put that on the screen. Well, the class laughed, and it was awesome. The teacher thought it was the most racist thing that anybody could ever do. And I go, I'm the dot, and I literally am just relating to the dot. And then she's like, I can't believe you said that. And then she failed me in the class. And she asked me, what do you want to do when you graduate? I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. I want to preach. And she said, I think you as a communicator will never happen. I think you need to look at a different profession. And it hurt. It really did. It was like I walked around going, I don't have it. I make silly jokes. But then I found out later in ministry that God would use the things that are silly to confound the wise. He would use the things that are foolish to preach his gospel. And that's been some of the greatest tools that I've had through my jokes that hit or miss or whatever it might be. That's just who I am. And I've realized in ministry that God uses that. So whatever you're going through, don't follow the crowd. Be you in ministry. Be you in your walk with God. Be you in prayer. Be you when you're stepping out of that boat. And God will use you to touch people. He'll break some walls down. It's been one of my greatest things in ministry. It breaks walls down. But I'm going to bring this to a close. If we could have the keys to make the sound spiritual, please. Thank you. Don't let distraction and discouragement derail you. Number two is distraction in the process of all this stuff. What is in your life that's been distracting you? What's been in your life that's been trying to hinder your vision? And God wants to deal with that today. Because you see, when you walk in the realm of faith, there's an arena of faith that begins to step. You begin to step in, and it's the area of having vision. What's the vision for your life? I asked the first service this question, but I'm going to ask you, what's your vision for your life? Because as Dr. Morocco says, your vision will either propel you or your vision will limit you. It will limit you. Your vision for your church as a member. The vision for this house is not just on their shoulders. It's on yours. It's on your shoulders. On what to do with when God calls you. And you see, Peter's vision was heavily influenced by what he saw in the natural. But when Jesus picked him up, what began to happen? He started walking on water again. When you come to a place where your vision is set on him, that's when the supernatural begins to take place. And you begin to see this. Where there is no vision, Proverbs 29:18, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Your vision will either propel you or limit you. When Peter focused on Jesus, he walked on water. He focused on the storm and he sank. What are we focusing on? When you focus on him, you'll begin to do the impossible. But how about this? Is that in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. This morning, this message of walking into divine destiny, I want to bring it to this moment, is that God wants to establish vision in your life. Yes, you'll take the step. Yes, you can walk in faith. And I found people can be phenomenal in those areas. But the area in which that we need the greatest help as a church is in the area of having a great vision. It's in the area when God says, look, I've called you to do this, that you have it within your spirit to say, Lord, if you can speak to me to do it, I want to see it through faith. What's the vision that you have in your life, in your family? What's the vision that God is trying to give you? Maybe it's a vision to own a business. Maybe it's a vision to break out of the curse of poverty in your life. What is the vision this morning? I want to pray for people this morning. Is that okay? I want to pray for people this morning. I want to pray for people that you need a fresh vision from the Lord. That number one, just like I was preaching, to walk in divine destiny, we need to step out in faith. There needs to be a letting go. Number two, there needs to be a stepping into a realm of faith. Number three is stepping into purpose. You step into God's purpose for your life when you begin to not look at your own life as the thing that God wants to bless. But the blessing that God blesses you with is not just for you, but it's for you to be a blessing to somebody else. And right now, this is what I want to do. Everybody just close your eyes real quick. And I want us to pray this morning about what God would have you to do. For some of you, God's going to give you dreams. He's going to give you visions. He's going to give you desires even in your heart. He's going to speak to you on where you're going to go and what you're going to do and what needs to be done. Father, I pray for every single person here, God, that I pray that this morning that they would walk in divine destiny. Lord, I thank you that there'll be a supernatural insight, a supernatural flow of the things of God in their life. God, that there would be a grace to begin to run the race that you have for them. That God, that they would see beyond what they can see in the natural. That they'll go beyond what they can see. That they would walk on the impossible today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Give me a second. Everybody that needs healing in your body, just stand up real quick. If you need healing in your body, just stand up real quick. You have pain, you have something in your body. Oh, I need to close, but I want to pray for people real quick. There's somebody here, you have problems in your neck. Who is that? God wants to heal you. There's like pain in your neck. God wants to bring healing to that this morning. If that's you, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Just come here. There's somebody that has pain in your back. You have pain in your back. There's severe pain. It's almost like a disc is rubbing on a disc. God wants to bring healing to that this morning. If that's you, just come up here and stand up here this morning. If you could, if you have pain in your body, just come up. Just come up to the altar. If you have pain in the body, I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you and with you. This church, I've seen some of the greatest miracles in this church. You know, it was the crutches the last time with our dear friend, and it was people. Yeah, it just phenomenal stuff. And the lady who had the baby that was dead and it came to life. There's healing coming to your body. There's complete restoration coming to your body. I don't know, but I just see the Lord giving you joy, joy, joy. He was restoring everything. I just want everybody to pray. Just close your eyes and just begin to pray right now. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your presence. Lord, I pray for every person here right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for every bit of pain, every bit of sickness, every bit of illness, infirmity. We speak healing upon their bodies right now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In the name of Jesus. If you could, just take one hand and put it where you're believing God for healing. If it's a lot of different parts, just put it on your head. If it's your back, put it on your back. If it's your knees, if you can reach, you know, if you can't reach it, just put it on your chest.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. No, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.